Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What do two local insurance experts believe Congress needs to do to improve health insurance and reduce premium costs nationally? Let's go in-depth with Todd Chambers with the McKay Insurance Agency, Knoxville, and Brian Gillette with Group Benefits Limited, Urbandale. Well, Todd, there's soon to be a new Trump administration. The Republicans have control of the Senate and the House, and they're going to be looking at health care. If you and Brian had the ears of congressional leaders, if they were all sitting at the same table, what would you tell them needs to be done with respect to health care reform from the insurance company perspective?
I think I'd start off with just making sure that they understand it's a broader picture than just health insurance. We often hear, well, how do you fix health care? Well, it's health insurance. Health insurance is the problem. Those guys are the ones driving the issues. And I want to make sure that they understand it's a broader picture. The laws have focused on just insurance itself, but you know, some of the things that I think folks don't realize or recognize, in the state of Iowa, 85 cents of every dollar of premium that health insurance companies take in, they're required to spend back in health care coverage. That's not to pay for their building or their staff or their taxes. That 15% that they get to keep, that's what goes towards those staff and payroll and retirement plans and benefits and buildings and all that stuff. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield holds themselves to a higher standard of 90% goes back towards health care cost. So a lot of folks want to say, well, they've got the big fancy building out there, so they just raised my rates to do that. And I don't think that's the case. That's not a popular thing to say, that let's not blame the big insurance company. I get that. But I just want to point out that there are many other factors that we need to look at.
So when I hear about an 8% or a 14% increase in premiums, only a small portion, if it's 14%, it's only 1.4% is going to go to them to help with overhead costs and profit.
Yeah, and if that. So they're held to that standard, but it doesn't mean they always hit those numbers. For example, in the last 12 months, 6% of Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield's business is the Affordable Care Act under age 65 individuals. They have lost $100 million on those 6%. So I believe the number that I saw was for every dollar they've taken in, they've spent $1.37. So they didn't quite hit their 90%. Now, let's go on the flip side. If they don't spend the 85% that the state requires back into healthcare, they have to issue a reimbursement check to their members. I've never received a reimbursement check. So my guess is those dollars are going towards the healthcare costs. The other point I want to make, when your mention of the 8 or 14 or we see 35% rate increases, the thing that often doesn't get mentioned there is those are, when it's in the media, those are individuals under the age of 65. I often get our folks over the age of 65, they're on Medicare supplements calling me. They're concerned, hey, I saw in the news there's a 35% rate increase from Wellmark. That's not them. Those numbers I have never seen reported on the news. That's not the businesses. Those numbers are definitely not reported. So it's not, when we see those numbers of the large rate increases, that's a smaller amount of the people that are insured.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about health insurance with Todd Chambers with the McKay Insurance Agency and Brian Gillette with Group Benefits Limited. So rate increases are important for us as the public to understand and what they're going to, and sort of misperceptions if you just read the news headlines. There's other factors going into it too, aren't there, Brian?
Yeah, in fact, the most important thing I think people could come to a realization about that would influence legislation is that the premium is a reflection of healthcare costs. We have a crisis in this country, but it is a healthcare cost crisis. We now spend One of every $5 in this country that is spent on anything is spent on health care. It means it went to a hospital, a doctor, a pharmacist, a drug manufacturer. One out of every $5. So if I had the attention of the new administration, I would tell them, much like Todd said, it's much bigger than just looking at health insurance. I would try to enact legislation that would provide incentives to the provider community to deliver care more affordably and more efficiently.
Well, and I've heard our own healthcare providers, our own local administrators, CEOs, they've shared a similar sentiment that they value wellness and the lowering of costs. And so what's the problem? Why can't we solve this crisis?
Well, I think part of the problem is that we've been focused too much on the insurance side of the equation. So the Affordable Care Act did a lot of good things. There's a lot of good pieces of that law, but it was all on the insurance side, and it really influenced like what your policy has to cover, who's going to pay for part of your policy, who gets to sell your policy, things like that. Some of that's important, but unless we look at healthcare costs, we're not going to get there. And so what I would like to see is legislation that rewards, Iowa providers, for example, are very efficient relative to their national peer group. You would want a system of reimbursement that rewards them for keeping a population healthy and for being very efficient as they deliver care, which we do a pretty good job of, frankly, in Iowa. But we don't do that a good job nationally. And because we don't have those incentives in place, the costs just continue to escalate.
Well, what are some of the other things that, let's say I'm Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell, if you had one point you wanted to get across, what would you say?
One point, that's narrowing it down a bit. I would go back to, Brian said, let's look at delivery, let's look at the tort system, let's look at health insurance. I'm not saying they're innocent in this by any means. Prescription drugs, there's a lot of factors here. I think it's going to take more than the three of us in one room to fix it. Maybe not. I think we're pretty good at what we do here. But if you take a look at all of them, in my opinion, it's such a tightly wound ball at this point. It's going to take years of unwinding. One law is not going to fix this. We need to look at multiple avenues, a comprehensive plan that is going to take a long time to enact, because you can't fix this system that quickly.
And have you ever heard the story, like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? One immediate gain we could capture that would lower people's costs today would be to do tort reform or reform the laws about how doctors and hospitals are sued. You'll hear some people say, well, that only is a small percentage of, what they have to pay for their malpractice insurance isn't that high of a percentage. But talk to a doctor. Talk to a hospital. What they will tell you is because they have the threat of these huge lawsuits, it changes how they practice medicine. They order tests that aren't necessary. They run up the bill, all so that they can protect themselves from huge lawsuits. If we made modest reform to that tort industry, then you would see costs go down and doctors would practice medicine more consistent with how they were trained and less consistent with, I just have to do all of this stuff in case I get sued. So that would be one immediate thing I think the new administration could take on.
So a doctor is giving me 7 tests instead of the 3 that I really need just to...
Yeah, because they might end up in a courtroom someday.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about health insurance with Todd Chambers with the McKay Insurance Agency and Brian Gillette with Group Benefits Limited. This might be just a little bit too philosophical, but isn't this maybe sort of inevitable as part of the capitalistic system that we live in, is that we have all these self-interested parties? And let's just assume that they're interested in our health care and making us healthy. But then we have the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry, the doctors, all kinds of other people interested in making money and being good capitalists. And they're going to be competing with each other for those dollars. Is there any resolution that could come, or is it just built into the system?
Yeah, and I will probably be a bit of a contrarian and say that I would actually argue that what we need is more capitalism. And here's how I would define that. In the car industry, if somebody goes to buy a car, they know how much it costs, they have access to information about whether the quality is good, and then they pay the bill themselves. So at the point of purchase, they're acting like a capitalist and they're trying to find the best one for the least price. None of that happens when major healthcare purchases are made. When you go in because you need knee surgery or you've had some sort of thing, you don't get to find out how much it will cost. You don't know which knee surgeon's the best. And at the end of the day, the insurance company pays anyway. So you have less incentive to care. I would introduce a system where the consumer had access to price and quality data and had an insurance plan that required them to care about cost. Because until that happens, you're going to have all the wrong incentives. We do have wrong incentives in the plan. So the pharmaceutical industry can run roughshod over everybody and do whatever they want. And doctors and hospitals, who are all good people trying to do the right thing, but they're rewarded for the wrong things a lot of times in the system that we have today. So those are capitalism defined the way I just defined it, I think would actually help lower costs over time.
I would say also, I mean, you could take that argument about everybody having the self-interest to many other industries. I mean, you can look at use the car industry, for example. You've got manufacturers looking to make a dollar, and then you've got the parts dealers that are trying to charge them if they're making the parts, and you've got insurance over here, which thankfully our auto insurance rates don't take near the same rate increases that auto does. But you've got people involved at the governmental level as lobbyists in everything we do today. And capitalism will drive that, and it can drive it to a point where, hey, more competition in some of these things might help us.
I understand that. I understand that perfectly, and that makes really good sense in the healthcare industry, in the insurance industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, where we have that competition within the industries that can only come about through transparency and consumer choice, right?
Right, you bet.
But how do we get all of the different players involved on the same page rather than competing for a finite number of dollars? How do we make that happen? Or do we?
Well, I think what it's going to take, because you're really at the brass tacks issue, you know, this is where the rubber hits the road. But what it will take is what we're faced with now is that people can't afford their health insurance premiums. It's becoming a much more significant part of a family's budget. And they're going to demand change at some point. There will be a point where, and we're not there yet, believe it or not, because I think the new Trump administration may do some things that are smart and might affect costs and lower them some, but they're not really looking at how care is reimbursed. That's not part of the plan. So it's somewhere down the road where I think we will see a consumer revolt and we will finally have politicians that are willing to take on the very tough challenge of how healthcare is reimbursed versus what your health insurance plan has to pay for.
I would say if there were some, we don't think underwriting is going to go back into the law. But if underwriting was back into part of the law, that can drive down costs. Because who's going to start a new health insurance company right now with the way the laws are written? Probably nobody. But if the laws are such that you can do medical underwriting and take on the clients that you want, somebody could come in and drive costs down for a small piece of the business, which would drive competition. Now we're back to just health insurance, but you could, if you had more competition, I think we could drive some rates down. How do you do that? I don't know. Maybe you still have guaranteed issue health insurance, but it's a government plan with some subsidies, as opposed to on the backs of Coventry and Aetna and Wellmark and United Healthcare and all these carriers. Maybe you take a look at that perspective. I don't know that we know the answers to all of it, but I think there's definitely some opportunities here that could then open it up to where maybe somebody else wants to sell health insurance in the state of Iowa. Drive some more competition and bring those prices back down.
You know, an ancillary benefit to reintroducing medical underwriting is it gives consumers incentives to be healthy. And I think we all agree that health insurance should be available to anybody who applies. But it would be a terrific thing if you did underwriting and if somebody was, you know, healthy and had done the right things to keep themselves healthy, they're qualified for this private insurance plan. And on the other side, if you can't pass underwriting or you're denied by an insurance company, there's a guaranteed issue pool that maybe the government subsidized to keep the price reasonable. But that way, you have, as a consumer, an incentive to stay well. I'm a real big believer in economic theory and the idea that people will do what they're incented to do. And providing the correct incentives for individuals to actually stay well is really important. Think about it. 50% of the costs are due to preventable behaviors. We can lower everybody's health insurance premium 50% today if we all start exercising, eating right, and all of that.
And we know that there are many health issues that are not preventable, that somebody has something unfortunate and they're not going to pass underwriting. That's where you have the guaranteed issue. We believe they should get coverage. You put them into the guarantee issue pool. They still get coverage and good coverage at an affordable rate.
And they're just not going into the emergency rooms.
Right, absolutely.
And creating those costs.
Speaking of incentives, yeah, you want them to have insurance so that they're not just, oh, now I'm going to run to the emergency room where they have to treat me regardless of whether I have insurance.
So, Todd, are you optimistic that the new Republican administration can tackle this efficiently?
I'd love to say yes. I think that there's going to be some things that are done well. And like Brian mentioned earlier, there are things in the law now that are good. They're good for consumers. There's many things that are not. It's something that will continue to need to be massaged, to fix, to tweak. Can they tweak small parts of it? I think so. Is it going to fix it long term? I don't think there's going to be a magical cure right away. It's going to take time, and it's going to take, as we said before, a lot more than just looking at health insurance itself.
Thanks to Todd Chambers and Brian Gillette for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.